What the failure of a construction startup tells us about SoftBank. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Amy Scott, in for Molly Wood. SoftBank launched its first $100 billion Vision Fund in 2017. And just last month, the Japanese conglomerate, led by Masayoshi Son, said the fund had delivered record profits for the quarter. But there have been some big failures, too. The modular construction startup Katerra filed for bankruptcy last week. SoftBank had invested more than $2 billion in the company. Katerra had borrowed money from Greensill Capital, which also received about $2 billion of SoftBank money. Greensill also collapsed earlier this year. And that, of course, follows the whole WeWork debacle a couple years ago. Sarah Kunst is the managing director of the venture firm Clio Capital. She says SoftBank's strategy has been to make huge bets on relatively unproven companies.
The risk is that you're putting a lot of money into companies before you know sort of how good they are. If you say that somebody is a $1 billion company when historically they maybe would have been seen as is worth $100 million, you know, you're betting that by giving them that money, they're actually going to turn into a multi-billion dollar company.
I wonder what to make of the failure or near failure of several SoftBank-backed companies. Should we take away from this that maybe SoftBank isn't actually very good at this?
You know, it's hard to say, right? Because there historically, if you were writing checks of this size into startups, they were so sort of close to being profitable. Their business model was so fully fleshed out. You know, there wasn't a lot of risk that they would go bankrupt. And so now you are putting money in and there's so much more risk. And the kind of founder, you know, who's excited to take that money and to take that risk might be somebody who is, you know, as we've kind of famously seen with WeWork, somebody who is a little bit faster to spend that money out, who's more Icarian, right? They're flying very close to the sun. But pretty publicly and famously, Masa, you know, who runs SoftBank, he's really, you know, gravitated towards those types of founders. And so there's a difference between is the strategy wrong for venture capital in general, and is SoftBank choosing the right investments, and are they applying the right lens? When you invest, you expect a lot of things to not work out that well and a few things to work out and be the next Uber or Facebook or Google or Coinbase and just have such a tremendously huge outcome that it makes up for everything else.
When you're talking about bigger dollar amounts, you're seeing bigger failures, right? But some degree of failure is expected in this business.
So, yeah, I mean, certainly it's not a bug, it's a feature, right? And you're taking big swings, you're not playing it safe. And at some point, you know, you're either going to have a massive success or some level of failure. I think there's nothing inherently wrong with saying, let's put a lot of dollars into startups a little bit earlier than historically people have put a lot of dollars in. The question then becomes, how do you pick the right startups and how do you, you know, make sure that they don't fail? And I think that's a big question probably that SoftBank is having internally right now.
What are some of the SoftBank success stories? We've focused on the failures.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of their companies are doing very well. You know, this isn't something where it's 100% failure rate, you know, and even some of the companies that maybe the other thing that becomes a little bit risky is what if you're too early, right? So SoftBank has invested in companies in categories that have gone on to get a ton of tailwinds, but maybe, you know, in venture, we like to say, if you're too early, you're wrong, right? So to some extent, this whole model, when they created it, felt a few years too early, and now other people are catching up to them, like the hedge funds. But, you know, it was something that when they first started, everybody thought they were wrong. And you know, you also, though, can look at things like their investment into DoorDash, which, you know, they put in, I think, like $600 million, $700 million. And then, you know, it went public and at over $10 billion, you know, on the IPO. And so that is a huge success story. And so, you know, those sometimes get less attention because you know, that's what you're supposed to do, right? You're supposed to write a check into a startup and then make money on it. But certainly it would be, you know, it would be wrong to call them an unmitigated success, and it would certainly be wrong to call them an unmitigated failure.
I mentioned the connection between Greensill and Katerra, both SoftBank-backed companies that have failed recently. Is that common in venture capital for portfolio companies to work together?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty common. There should be overlap, right? It shouldn't be, an arranged marriage. It should be, hey, there's a lot of commonalities here and it makes sense, right? You know, if you are a SoftBank-backed company and you need office spaces, small office spaces all over the world, it makes perfect sense a few years ago that you would have turned to WeWork and said, hey, you know, maybe you met them, maybe, you know, the founders met each other at a SoftBank event or maybe they were connected elsewhere and say, hey, you know, of course we would work with you because we need this space and this is what you sell. And so, you know, you see a lot of that happening and it's generally organic. And, you know, it certainly makes the investor happy and it's sort of, you know, not dissimilar to saying, hey, you know, let's go to my cousin's restaurant versus the perfectly good restaurant across the street that I don't have access to, right? And so I think that it's fine, you know, as long as that's happening in a way that is organic and accretive to both companies.
How would you describe this moment in venture capital as the economy emerges from the pandemic and things are picking up?
You know, it's been a fascinating moment. You know, there's more money than ever in venture capital investing. You know, it is kind of wild to say this given the devastating impacts that COVID had on you know, a lot of low to mid-income people. But, you know, most people who are high income have been making a lot more money. And so there's a lot more capital to deploy into venture capital. You know, there's not a lot of places to get yield right now. You know, the interest rates are at an all-time low. So it's very cheap to borrow money. And so there's more money than ever in venture capital. The problem is that most of it is going into later stage deals. And that's fine, except for the fact that, you know, you need money in earlier stage deals as well, right? The next billion-dollar company isn't going to appear if we don't have people putting money into the earliest stages of startups, because you have to, you know, you have to crawl before you walk and walk before you run. And so, you know, if SoftBank is putting money into companies to help them run faster, we have to think about, you know, who's working at the earliest stages, like we do at my fund, Clio, to put money into these companies so that they can crawl.
Sarah Kunst is the managing director of Clio Capital. And now for some related links. The recent collapse of the SoftBank-backed construction company Katerra is a pretty fascinating story, featuring just the sort of Icarian CEO Kunz talked about, along with some questionable accounting practices. Corey Weinberg has been reporting on it at The Information. Katerra was founded in 2015 to disrupt the as-yet fairly undisrupted construction industry. It promised to build and renovate apartment buildings faster and for less money, using innovations like mass timber or engineered wood and modular components like roofs and walls built in automated factories. But founder and former CEO Michael Marks had no construction experience. The company expanded rapidly, burning through cash by acquiring other firms. Its projects were often delayed and over budget. And the company racked up nearly $3 billion in losses in the past 3 years. As one industry expert told Fast Company, it's hard to change construction, and tech can't go it alone. Chris Bryant at Bloomberg has more on the role of Greensill Capital in Katerra's bankruptcy. The London-based financial services firm went under in March of this year. Greensill lent more than $400 million to Katerra, packaged those loans into securities, and sold them to investors through Credit Suisse. According to the Financial Times, Credit Suisse plans to sue SoftBank to recover that money. It's a tangled web, folks. Hats off to the reporters making sense of it. We've got all those links at marketplacetech.org. I'm Amy Scott, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.